Alrighty, this is Chairman Nathan Wakefield calling the meeting to order at 7:05 p.m. Eastern Time. Jump into a roll call. Nathan Wakefield, I am present. Louis Skaradek?
Present.
Ian Michael Lowen?
Present.
Eric Shibuya?
Present.
Exero Pachowski? Exero is absent. Josie Marks McQuaid. Josie is absent. Scott Kane.
Present.
Thank you, Scott. Mike Sullivan.
Present.
Afton Benson.
Present.
Aaron Stevens. Aaron is absent. Martin Frost. Noel Yee. Also absent. Dan Holdman.
Here.
All right. And is there anybody on the call whose name I did not mention? Great. All right, moving on to approval of the agenda. Would someone like to make a motion to approve tonight's agenda?
This is Louis. I'll make the motion.
Thank you much. Louis, do we have a second?
Scott, I'll second.
Discussion? Moving to a vote, does anybody oppose the approval of tonight's agenda? Any abstentions? Agenda approved. Moving on to approval of minutes, would someone like to make a motion to approve month board meeting minutes of August 14th?
Ian here, I'll make the motion.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hey, Noah. Hey, Noel. Welcome.
Hello.
Sorry for being late. Please take me off the absence list.
All right, you're close enough. I'll accept it. Please add Noel to being present. Thank you, Noel. Do we have a second on approval of the minutes? I believe Ian made the motion initially.
This is Louis. I'll second the motion of approval of minutes.
Well, thank you, Louis. Do we have any discussion? Moving to a vote, does anybody oppose? Any abstentions? Minutes approved. All right, jumping right into reports. We're going to start things off with the financial side with the treasurer, Afton Benson. Chair is yours, Afton.
Okay. Hello. I sent it super late. We have the final festival P&L. I will hang on. I'll link it. It hasn't really changed very much from, like, the last time we had it. It's been updated with the final bonuses and things like that, and there were a couple, like, shipping and reimbursement things that were still getting done last minute at the beginning of the month. So that's all done now, though. Overall, fiscally, it was a really good festival. So the extra shows and all that jazz worked out really well, and Dan kept a really close eye on the things that were problem areas in El Paso. So that was super helpful. Yeah, I'm sure I'll link this in here if it wants to cooperate. I'll have it in there. But yeah, we ended up being $21,698 in the positive, which is awesome. And yeah, that's about it.
Great stuff. Great stuff. I do have the, it is in motion C. We'll be voting on just the acceptance of that. So yeah, it is down there if you guys want to take a look at it. But it's pretty straightforward and things worked out really nicely and really promptly, which is a breath of fresh air. So yeah, super great.
Holy Hannah.
Super great. Yeah. Any questions, comments on finances? All right, short and sweet. Thank you, Afton.
No problem.
Thank you, Afton.
On that note, jumping right into the 2017 festival report, Dan was kind enough to send along his final festival report. It is attached there. Any questions? Actually, first of all, Dan, do you want to say anything?
I appreciate the chance to direct the festival. I'm glad it went well and made the IGA money. I'm definitely available to help Noel with any advice or feedback he wants for next year. And I feel fully reimbursed and paid and ready to move on with the next adventure in my life.
Great. Well, great. Done, Dan. Yeah. I think your festival report was really good. I liked the feedback you gave. And, yeah, I mean, I thank you very much for having such a phenomenally successful event. This is definitely a really one for the ages. I don't have any questions or comments. Open up the floor to the rest of the board for questions, comments for Dan.
This is Noel. I'm not on the board, but I'm going to say something. Great job, Dan. It was my favorite IJA of all time. And I've heard rumors that you're coming back in 75. I don't know. I've heard rumors.
I do want to say I really like the people at the hotel. I was very fond of the people I got to work with there. Of course, I have a fondness for the IGA, so I will not rule out coming back in for the 75th. So
that is good.
If Mike Sullivan will come back in with me, I'll consider it.
Okay. Oh, it's like a buddy movie. I like it.
Yeah, buddy movie. Get the old gang back together.
Cool. Any more questions, comments, anybody?
The concept of the Diablo and the juggling thing. This is something we've talked about before, the idea of what is juggling and what should be included and not included in the competition. Do you think there should be a separate thing where the Diabloists compete differently than the regular jugglers?
Well, I think you have two problems. The problem is the drops. When you have let's say you have Blaney Bales. Let's say Blaney Bales should have won, had it being a juggling contest, but she had too many drops compared to the Diablo players. Well, she also had a lot more risk than the Diablo players. And it's also more difficult to move or show expression or show, a lot of times we don't know what's created with Diablo. We know it's created with clubs. There's such a disparity of fairness between the Diablo players and the jugglers. If year after year the Diablo players win, then either you have to create a separate division for Diablo players or examine why they have such an advantage. It really comes down to the drops. That one or two drops of Diablo should be like four or five with juggling or more.
Yeah. Either drops or the whole technical risk thing, I think.
Yeah.
I think that's right.
Look at Diablo. Look at the amount of time. Let's say someone's doing a seven-ball bounce. Every throw, there's a possibility of mistake, possibility of explosion. With Diablo, when it's on the string, there's minutes that go by with very little risk once the skill is finalized. So it's just not fair. Five-throw backlash might be more risky than someone's entire Diablo routine.
Wow,
so either it needs to be addressed or needs to be two. I would make it two separate things. To me, Diablo is Diablo. You can juggle two Diablos on the string, but when you're doing the Diablo, you're doing the Diablo. So to me, that's why I develop individual props. So I think that's the fair way to compete. But that's just my personal bias. I would just address it with the rules. I think saying Diablo is not juggling might be too extreme. But look at the rules and address it through the risk of the prop and make it more fair.
Okay.
I like that idea.
That's great.
Yeah. Do you have any, advice for Noel that you didn't outline in your report, Dan?
I like the fact I started early. I think going to see the site early, I think I went 3 or 4 months before it was typical, was very helpful. It gave me a good jump on things. And there might have been things I might have been available, like a Cedar across the street wasn't available, but it might have been, and it would have been good to know. So the sooner you can get a jump on things, I think the better to do the visit. It was very helpful. I discussed the thing about the food. I think that's, don't let the people handle their portions. And I think the extra shows at night need to be looked at as not just that has to be done or it's a good thing. I think a lot of it was based on the acts I got and the structure of the different types of shows. So that might have been maybe a bit too much of extra shows. So I think maybe tone that down to maybe 3 extra shows and see how that fits into the thing. But I thought overall the extra shows were a big success, and so I would look at those definitely to try to do that again.
I agree.
That's great that was. I know that was a thing that you were wondering about, and all of us were kind of wondering about, and it ended up working out great. And then you were saying cut back on them. That's cool, but I'm glad you pushed for that and went forward with that. It was a new model we can work with.
Yeah, it just seemed like if you went too much or too over the top, it would start being diminishing returns. So I felt like that was as many shows as you could fit in there. And if anything, I would maybe do one or two less. But that's, you know, it's as you can get.
Yeah, I saw a lot of positive comments on that. If you guys didn't notice, I sent out an email. Mike compiled all the post-festival survey responses. If you want a more granulated look at kind of the data as well as some of the open-ended questions, it was sent out a couple days ago. But there was a lot of good feedback about the extra shows. That was definitely a good selling point for a lot of people.
I think the History Museum was good, too.
What's that?
Can you forward that to me?
Oh, sure.
Thanks.
I thought the History Museum and the History Show were very good to keep connected to our past.
Yeah, I would agree.
And also, I think it's important to mention the jugglers who have passed during the year. We just lost Picasso Jr. I think there should always be some mention at the festival of the jugglers we lost, you know, during that year. And, you know, have at least some mention or you know, because it's the only way we have to sort of recognize the milestones of people passing.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea. Do you think like a moment of silence or like a poster or something with them on it, or what do you think would be good?
Some sort of recognition. You know, it could be an announcement. It could be, let's have a minute of silence for the jugglers we lost this year. It's just something that shows that we're a family, that we're more than just a group of people, that we recognize.
I really like that idea.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you like that idea, Noel, definitely not to any of us, probably Scott, want to kind of compile a list, but I think that's a great idea. All right, any more? Hey, Josie.
I guess I'll sign off then, guys. I'm going to sign off and thank you for my experience as festival director, and good luck in the coming year. And if you need me for anything, just let me know.
Thank you very much, Dan.
Thank you.
And
all right, guys. See ya. Bye.
Bye. All right. Moving on to the 2018 festival. Noel attached a report here, and he is also on the call. I think it's a pretty straightforward report. Noel, do you have anything to say, or do you just want to field questions, or how do you want to do this? You there, Noel?
Sorry, I'm on mute. Sorry. If you look at the document link there, I've tried to reorganize the Google Drive folder quite a bit. So you can, most of the time, I'm being completely transparent with what's happening. But that namely means, and this is really important for anybody on the call listening, that any deals made with jugglers, this has to be sensitive information to some extent. I'm just being really honest with that, and I need that to be a confirmed statement to some extent. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's vaguely confidential because, yeah. Anyways. If you take a look at the contacts I've made, you can take a look at the show document. There's three confirmed performers I need Afton to ideally draft a contract for, hopefully.
Like I said in my email, I don't draft the contracts. They're already set up, and you can write the wording however you talk to them.
Okay, so anyway.
They're in the 2017 one.
I was unsure as to do I just go, and I guess when the payment is sent, for example, Wes wants international transfer of cash, there's some complexities there, and there's also, So anyways, a couple questions I have around regarding payment and how that's going to work. Do I need to get Wes approved, or do I need to, I'm not really sure how that works.
So I only pay when there's a signed contract in hand. There were actually people from 2017 who didn't get paid because Dan never got me a contract. And so I got emails later, and then they sent it to me, and it was just a miscommunication or a missed email, but We don't pay in cash ever, regardless of who the performer is. So I can definitely do a wire transfer, and we usually pay it after their performance. With Wes or someone like that, they're obviously going to come. If they want to do a deposit ahead of time, that's fine, too.
Yeah, and I just wanted to, I mean, thank you, Afton, for replying to my emails and me seeming dumb or whatever, but I wasn't really sure what the protocol was 100%. I'm just, like, crossing my T's or whatever. So basically, they're going to be under contract, and sorry, Afton, for saying that you generated it. I know I got the message, but I was confused as to, and maybe, Nathan, you can answer this. Do you guys need to approve the act that I have? Is this all good?
Yeah, I'd be happy to answer that, Noel. So generally speaking, the board does not need to approve your acts. However, that being said, I would definitely make sure you have your budget in place, logically laid out, before you get too heavy into booking acts, just so you kind of know how much you're working with in terms of, like, your talent allotment. It is good to kind of keep us in the loop as to who you're being, just so we're on the same page. But we don't need to approve every individual performer you're getting, just as long as it makes sense for the festival and falls within your established budget.
Okay, great. I'm just going to fly through this here. So I've been kind of a little bit out of contact beginning of the school year. Me and Aaron have been going back and forth about planning the social media meeting. I've already spoken to Ross about getting him plugged in for doing a lot.
Hey, X-Zero.
Hey, I thought we were starting at 7:30 for some reason.
Nope, all good, though.
So basically, that's already under talks. After October 2nd, he's back. If you guys want to take a look at the venue itself, you can click on his Google Drive. Nothing's labeled yet. Just straight uploaded off my phone. And you can go ahead and take a look at some of the varying sites there. The track is there. There's some shots of the stage. There's some shots of the Renegade venue. There's shots of the hall, shots of the front of the stage. There's a bunch of shit. The hall, when you get to it, is a big concrete room. Yeah, so you guys take a look in there. There's stuff in there. The videos are probably going to be pretty funny. It's me and Mike wandering around. So go ahead and take a look at that at your leisure. So the goal is for September. Long short of it is, there is a lot of back-end work I need to really get started on. That's the big deal. That's the real hard part. And the rough... I'm calling in Pyrus. Pyrus can come in and help me make a really clean, beautiful budget for you, Afton, as part of his major role.
Quick question there, Noel. Quick question. Can you elaborate on Pyrus' involvement? Is he just kind of advising you as a previous festival coordinator, or is he coming in as an officer for the festival, or what's kind of that doing?
He's advising. I mean, he said he's in. I haven't spoken to him in a while. He's mainly going to monitor the financial transactions that come in and out, just making sure that I'm set with my budget. I know the financial payout is done by Afton, and that's fine. In addition, he expressed some interest in helping direct some of the shows, and they're going to need some stage managers to take the place as Ross guides the overarching show process, if that makes sense. He'll be in.
Sorry.
He ran the event in Purdue.
Great.
Anyways, there's this massive pre-festival task list that Mike sent me. I just figured I would drop that here. That's basically what I want to work through and start generating a timeline. It's going to be, there's quite a lot of, like, little pieces to the website that I mean, there's a bunch of stuff that I need to kind of get set up. And so hopefully by the next board meeting, I can present to the board a rough timeline of the event. And you guys can see my comments on this pre-festival checklist that Mike has generated. And that will be all vaguely in swing. And in an ideal universe, I will have at least Wes booked and probably Florin, because I'd love to begin announcing special instructors right away, and just so everyone to hear what Wes could be doing. Wes will be doing a 30-minute show with a 15-minute Q&A after the show. He was very specific about it not being 45 minutes, but a 30-minute show with a 15-minute Q&A.
Okay.
He will be doing two workshops within the festival and one Cascade of Stars act. And his special show will be one of the paid shows. This will be great. I think that'll be an automatic sort of, in terms of selling. Basically, the goal here is like 200, 300 people. We could probably get more in that room, pays for Wes's entire everything, mostly. So that'd be great. Because he'll be one of the highest paying guests. And Danetta is another one who's relatively low, but she's rather famous in the flow world and sort of legendary in her own right. And then Florence is a hoop juggler, is Wes's partner, and she's coming rather cheap. So those are the three that I have. Take a look at this massive list of people that I've contacted. That's where you can really get a dose of what the hell's been going on for me. But Michael Karras is confirmed. You can see his compensation, what he'd be doing. He'd mainly be our MC for the welcome show. There's all this other shit on here. You can see I contacted Penn Jillette. He said no. Bummer. That would have been awesome. Michael Motion is still interested. Zero response from his team, but Mr. Motion is interested. That's as far as we've gotten. And there's a bunch of other people here that are interested. You can go ahead and take a look. Josh Horton, Annie Cooper, Norby, and Vero are interested coming down. Komei Oki, I'm quote-unquote in talks in a group conversation with Yuki, who's helping me translate between me and Komei. You can just take a look at some of the names here. I think Aaron went to the bottom and dropped a bunch of Latin American jugglers and her thoughts. And,
that's me.
Where I've been.
Wow. Gotta say, I'm super impressed with this list, Noel. A lot of good stuff on here.
If you guys, anybody, I'm looking for girls that are women that I like. Town, I mean...
Wrong call, Noel, wrong call.
I think that I'm looking for women that are highly skilled jugglers that aren't Gina Schwartzman would be an ideal thing. So if you know anybody else, I'm looking, or you can add them to this list. I mean, everybody on the board should have access to it, but you could add names to the list, and I'll consider it, and sort of like, and all these people are all tentative, except for, ideally, the top four people. For example, Michael Karras is coming for a very sweet deal. He's giving us an amazing deal, and I'm stoked to have him. And some of these other people are also doing a lot. So there you go. Is there any questions?
Yeah, I got a few, Noel. So, yeah, I like your idea of adding performers. So I got a couple ideas, and everyone else likewise. Put them to the left there. Let's see here. What was I going to ask? Oh, so what do you think would be a good time frame, Noel, to open up nominations for honorary awards?
Is the committee the same as always? How does that committee choosing work?
So basically the committee has to be voted on each year as that year's award committee, so it has to be approved by the board in advance. Usually it's more or less the same people. Sometimes there'll be a couple different people, but I know, it's usually Alan Howard serves as the chair, and then we've had, like, Bob Newman has been on there for a long time. Jay Gilligan's been on there a few times, so, are you okay with kind of going with the same committee we've had last year or two? Do you want me to reach out to Alan to try to get the committee so we can vote on it at the next board meeting and then get that call open maybe that month after that?
Yeah, I basically trust. The only thing that I don't want to trust is I don't want to feel committed to bringing that person to the event necessarily, and I'm not sure how that works.
Yeah, I mean, the idea is we usually try to. I know that's something Dan was very passionate about, and it worked out this year, which was very good. But it's kind of a...
I mean, So, I mean, is it like I say a name, like Greg Kennedy? Has he gotten it recently? Because that dude deserves it. I don't know. Like, if somebody knows somebody else in this region that deserves the award, I don't know exactly how to go about this. So if you have a better idea about how to go about it, it'd be really great. Let me know, because I can find space for these people, but I sort of need to know. I don't know, Zach. It seems a little weird.
I'll tell you what, Noel. So I'll try to assemble the committee with the same people, and I'll CC you on there. So if when the committee is approved, you can be in contact with them, and if they have a preliminary list, you can kind of see about, you know, the feasibility of bringing them in. That's kind of the idea about starting this process earlier as opposed to, like, next spring, to have that much leeway. Does that work for you?
Yep, that's great.
All right, I'll try to see if we can get that committee and hopefully vote on it at the next board meeting. Another thing, can you commit, Noel, to having a full budget to us by the November board meeting?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, if you can get it next month, great, but I know it's a huge undertaking, so I wouldn't expect
it. I'm going to be upfront with you guys. I think a better step-by-step would be I can commit to something sort of roughly piecemeal together next month and then a finalized for you to look at. Doesn't mean you need to, it's not going to be awesome. It's going to be something. And then
that would be perfect.
Yeah.
By November.
No.
That would be an ideal.
Novell, I completely agree. Let's do that. Just give us a rough bang next month. We'll give you feedback, and then we can kind of collectively cultivate it down to a more conducive budget for November. I like that. One thing I did want to mention, Noel, in the past, we've kind of put festival officers on our website officially. With the way the website's laid out now, I don't think we've done that with the last festival. But if you could, just keep a running list of everybody that's an official for this festival, like all the organizers for each event. That'll make things a lot easier with our insurance policy. Can you do that, Noel?
I would actually say it's not concrete, but I am copying this document right here. If you go to my report, you can go ahead and take a look at... I'm working on confirming... Oh, my goodness, that is not what you need. That was what I was sending. Hold on. I have this for you, and I can go ahead and grab that. And if you take a look, I'm just copying it, you should be able to look at it from my report, starting right the volunteer. Boom, there you go. And then if you go ahead and click that, you can go ahead and find the rough breakdown of people.
Perfect. Perfect. This is exactly what I was looking for. I was looking for, Noel. Perfect.
It's not 100% confirmed in any capacity, aside from Nathan Wakefield doing IJ business on the board and crashing.
What? Oh, you brought that guy back? Oh, come on.
But in general, most of it is sort of in... It's hard for me to... I'm just trying to make a regular system of Google documents that can make it easier for the year after me. That's sort of part of the process here, too. You can take a look at this. I don't know.
No, just keep this up to date, but this is exactly what I was looking for. This will make things a lot easier for us.
And if you have an area, for example, the awards committee, like chair or something, please add them on here or any other area, because I'm going to forget some shit and or stuff. And if you can make sure...
These are all public in the 2018 folder, Noel? Public to us, I mean private to the board and officers.
This is located in the main folder. It's called, it should be called volunteer areas. I don't know why. I think I accidentally made a copy, guys. Sorry. The one you're looking at, I'm going to delete. Oops. I was trying to copy the link for you guys real quick, but there's another one inside there that's called the same. And I'll re-link that. Sorry.
We're clear. Okay. I'm good, Noel. With that, I'll hand it over to any other board officers that might have any questions.
Just Noel, David is not going to be at IJA this coming year. And I'm probably not going to bring the museum, so just but note that. But I think that Mary Spar and I are both good to go on numbers again this year.
Okay, sweet. I would also say, Scott, if you have any midnight visions about a way to bring the history into the juggling thing, like make a big old timeline and stretch it around a place, or I work at it with kids, so I don't know. But anything that you think that might be like a cool addition for this year that's not like super, super expensive, please let me know, because I would like to bring some level of history to the event. So that's it.
Yeah. All right, let me think about that.
Cool. Any more questions, comments on the festival? All right. Thank you very much, Noel.
All right. I'm going to leave, guys. Bye.
Bye.
Bye, Noel.
Bye.
Bye,
Noel.
Bye, Noel. Thank you.
All right. Lots of good stuff going on there. And then we move to the future festival planning with Mike Sullivan. Did you want to kind of, yes, you wrote a few paragraphs here, Mike. Did you want to talk about this at all?
Okay, sure. Well, tonight I think we have an agenda item to ratify the contracts for El Paso 2020. I would urge the board to do that. We have a fantastic offer from them, which if we only do as well as we did in 2016, they will basically pay our rental for all of the facilities that we'll be using. In addition, we're getting significantly upgraded hotel space at the main hotel for just a slight increase in price. And being able to book a hotel of this quality and these facilities at this quality at these prices 3 years out is pretty remarkable. I then talk about plans for Cedar Rapids 2022. That would be our 75th annual. I don't know about you. You read the review survey results from our jugglers, and if any of you were there, I think you realize what a gem of a city and how perfectly suited Cedar Rapids was for our event. They have verbally agreed and will soon agree in writing to let us return to the hotel and convention center at the same prices we had this year. And being able to book such a wonderful property 5 years apart for the same price is really unheard of. And it's because they know that we will perform for them and that we're a great group to have in town and we're not going to hassle anybody. If we're able to sign that for 2022, I fully expect to insist upon the same rates or lower for any place we wind up going in 2021. That would mean that we have had hotel rates at $109 per night or less per year, every year, for 9 years. And I don't know of too many other things that haven't changed prices in 9 years. But we can go all the way back to 2013, when we first got rates below $118 a night. If we then conclude our deal with Cedar Rapids for 2022, that will be 9 years at these amazing rates, and it's all thanks to El Paso. So other than that, I do urge the board to approve the contracts for El Paso. We have everything that we need from them in writing. And then my work will turn to 2021, and I've listed some of the cities there that I hope to follow up with, and I've already heard from a couple of them that are very interested in us. So with that, I'd be happy to take any questions.
Where have you been talking to, what venue for Ann Arbor, Michigan? That's literally 5 minutes from my house.
Well, I don't know yet, Nathan. It's just that we had a brief 7-minute speed date meeting, and I gave them my specs, and I told them that, you know, we need everything to be air-conditioned. That was one reason we didn't wind up considering Kalamazoo, for example. But
yeah.
I haven't heard back from them. I've reached out to all of them, letting them know that we're still interested, but they haven't even returned our call or sent the first probe back to us, so I'm still waiting to hear from them.
Gotcha. Interesting. Okay. Thanks.
I have gotten back word from both Montgomery, Alabama and Provo, Utah, and they're already working on proposals for us.
I know last week we talked about, last month, talking about a West Coast one as something that some people had brought up wanting. Was the Sacramento, I know, again, you did the speed dating version, but at least in the price range?
Well, they say they are. You know, based on the summary information that I gave them and the quick chat that we had, I always tell them what our showstoppers are, and I tell them what kind of prices we need to see. And when I told them all that, they didn't faint and fall out of their chair. So they think they can be competitive, and that's why we're keeping the conversation going. But I haven't received anything back from them, even as a preliminary discussion yet. But I've got them on my hot list because they said, yes, they're interested, and they can meet our requirements.
Okay, thank you.
Quick question, great. Mike.
Yes.
So with El Paso, one thing I was thinking about, because a lot of people who didn't go, like myself, couldn't afford the airfare to El Paso, and I'm not sure if this would be something you would do or if we would have to wait till the festival director was in place, but you're really good at establishing relationships with people. All the major airlines, I just found out, all of them will set up, like, discount flights for groups of people.
Yes.
Where we can,
yes,
like,
I know.
Secure
they
a
will.
Code. Okay.
Yep.
Do they just not? Or do we just
no,
not?
No, they will.
That?
But everyone that I've checked on Delta, American, and Southwest, all of whom fly to El Paso. They require you to aggregate your demand so that you have a minimum of 20 people departing on the same itinerary from the same city. If you want anything like a good discount. If you just want a token code that might or might not save you some money, they're happy to give those out, but I don't think there's any way to tell that they're actually saving us money. Yes, that's always something that the festival director can work on when the time comes. The nice thing about El Paso is it is served by all of the U.S.'s major airlines. So, you know, it's not cheap to fly across the United States no matter who you're on. But if Southwest is an option for you, they do have service from Southwest.
Okay. I'm still fiscally very nervous about El Paso because had we not secured that grant, we would have bled money. So I just am going to reiterate that for like what I feel like is the 100th time.
Yes, I agree with you. And I think we discussed in past months the reason the budget went over so much. And I think the city is doing everything they can for us. They're basically giving us free use of the convention center and that spectacular Plaza Theater if we just bring the people in. And all we would have to pay for is the labor. And, of course, the labor is what killed us at the Plaza Theater and the brunch, the complications with the brunch.
All right. Any questions, comments on the future festival beyond what we've already discussed? All right. Thank you, Mike. We will be voting on El Paso 2020 in a moment.
Okay.
E-Juggle report. Scott did not send me a report this month, but he did have some... a little bit of a discussion about a motion he wanted, so I did add it to the bottom. We will vote on that. Moving on to membership, the numbers are there. Any discussion on membership?
I'll say just in looking at them, it looks like we're at the highest point we have been in the last 3 years in membership.
Yeah, we've broken our 1,000 again.
Yeah, ooh. But even going back, though, I think this is the highest in 3 years. Which is not, you know, it's at least moving in the correct direction.
Yeah.
I think that jump is attributable to the good attendance that we had in Cedar Rapids.
I'm sure part of it is.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We did have a new another members only content thing as on eJuggle as well. Three new Francis Brenn videos. I don't know if that attributed or not. I know there was some lively banter in some of the juggling forums about. Man, I don't, you know, I'm not an IJ member and I don't really particularly want to join, but I want to see those videos, and which led to some discussion about why don't you want to be a member? Here's what they're doing, blah, blah, blah. It was an opportunity, but I don't know if it added members or not. But the two previous ones did, so I don't know if I would guess this one probably did some at least.
Okay. Any more comments? All right, guys, moving on to marketing. Aaron Stevens did manage to attach a marketing report there. Kind of an overview of what's going on with our marketing outreach. Any discussion? All right, moving on to IRC. She also just attached an IRC report. Any discussion on IRCs? Yeah, I'll give this one a couple minutes because it's a little longer, and I know she just attached it a minute ago, so. One thing of note is that we approved IRC Argentina last month, but after talking to Aaron, and she outlines it here, she said it was not in a position to occur, so that's been scrapped for the time being.
I did hear a lot of very positive things about the Australian IRC that just finished up.
Nice. Very nice. All right, guys, any discussion about IRCs?
I think it's all great. I think it's an awesome implementation of the mission of the IJ.
Yep.
Yeah, and indeed. Then her searching for funding, bringing that in from outside sources, so the IJ itself isn't heavily relied upon for that funding is great, too. It seems to be working out. She has a fire for it.
All right. Any more discussion? Moving on to the Youth Juggling Academy, Galen was kind enough to submit a kind of a brief synopsis here. One thing I did want to mention, I don't know if you all heard this, but at the festival we did receive a $1,000 donation earmarked specifically for YJA. So we have that little allotment for the program in addition to our budget.
Nathan, did we ever get that taken care of?
Yes.
Or just Galen?
Yes, it took a while.
Okay. Great.
No, basically, okay.
I just realized that I forgot.
You sent it to me. I tried to cash it. I sent it to him. He couldn't cash it. He sent it back to me. I finally cashed it last week, and I ran it through Dennis. So it's in our account. We are good.
Great.
Thanks for cashing.
Great.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a bear. But yeah, we're all set. Okay, any discussion about YJA, guys?
I noted that they are looking for someone to help with the social media part of marketing that. I know that we have some people who are younger than me and more savvy that might be able to do that, but I just noted that that was something they were looking for.
Ah, glad you brought that up, Scott, because right after he sent this to me, wait, is that Ian chiming in?
Yes. After our last vision planning meeting, I reached out to Galen to see if what else I could do to help out with the YJA, and that's what he told me. As he wrote here in his report, he just needed some help with the social media. Pretty proficient with social media marketing, so I'd be happy to help. I guess I just need to continue to talk to him to find out what I can do to help and how I can help, what the goals are.
Nice.
And what we can do.
Go team. All right. I think we're in good shape. Any more discussion on YJA? All right, Cass. I'm getting a little bit of feedback of people talking in the background. I'm not sure who that is, but if you could mute your phone when you're not talking, that would be good. All right, jumping right to motions for consideration. The first motion on the agenda is a motion to approve a travel reimbursement of $373.97 to Mike Sullivan for assisting with the 2018 festival site visit. Would somebody like to make this motion?
Scott, I'll make
this is Louie. Scott.
I heard Scott. Do we have a second?
This is Louie. I will second the motion.
Well done. All right. Thank you, Louie. Moving on to discussion. So basically, I want to make sure I'm understanding this correctly. Noel did the site visit to Springfield, and Mike, you accompanied him as well, and you kind of did a team site visit. Is that correct?
Yes, and the only reason we didn't seek approval beforehand is because it came together very quickly based on Noel's school schedule.
Gotcha. Yeah, I mean, I can only speak for myself here, Mike. I think this is a reasonable request, but I will say, you know, best practice going forward, definitely ask us for approval before you submit a reimbursement for something that wasn't, you know, directly asked. But beyond that, I think this is reasonable.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree, and that is the normal practice. Springfield picked up Noel's travel by train, but traditionally they only pay for the lead organizer to come in. However, Noel wanted me there, and I thought it would be good if I was there, so I took the initiative to make plans and be there with him.
Okay. Any more discussion? Moving to a vote. Does anybody oppose this motion? Any abstentions? Motion passes. All right, Mike, I will be in touch with Dennis to have that reimbursement issued to you. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, guys, now we move on to motion B, the motion to approve El Paso for the site of the 2020 IJA Festival. You see I've also hyperlinked the folder with all the up-to-date contracts. Would someone like to make this motion?
This is Scott. I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Scott. Do we have a second?
This is Louie. I'll second.
Thank you, Louie. Moving to discussion. All right, guys. 2020. Back to El Paso. What do you think?
This is Scott. I mean, I think everyone who went to El Paso thought the facilities were great and the city was great, and it sounds like it's only going to be better next year. The next time we go, I have the same concerns that have been voiced otherwise, expensive to get to, and reliance on the grant. Now, if we know we're getting the grant and that's not a questionable thing, then that really, really helps. I think that if we do this, we're going to really have to use the people that were there before and the feedback even from the surveys about the last time to really promote it, and how great the facilities were and how just really nice time it was. Because it was. It was a really, really great, it was just a stress-free festival from my point of view as a participant. But we've got to get something to overcome that travel fees, you know, the travel considerations, especially, you know, knowing the Jughead did not come and probably some of the other youth. I know I didn't bring my daughter because of the price. That's just my 2 cents worth.
Thank you, Scott. Other board members, what do you think?
I think it's fine. Like, again, absent bringing up, and I think it's good to bring up the idea that if the money issue, it's always nice to be profitable, but if some of the festivals aren't as profitable as others, hopefully they cover each other a little bit, and
it seems like they're giving us a good deal. Like Mike said before, it's hard to find the cities that are giving us the good deals and making it easy for us and setting this up well and that we've worked with before. It'll be interesting going back to a city like this in this, in the last few years to see how it actually works out that way. So I kind of see it as a double thing. Like it's a win because they're giving us a good deal, but also it's a win to see how a city works a second time to see if we can improve upon our, how we did it last time there.
Can you give us a definitive comment on the grant status, Mike?
Yes, we have it in writing. It's in the folder that you should all be able to see. And it's in the contract for the Convention Center and Plaza Hotel as well. Let me read it to everybody just so we're all clear.
I know there was some ambiguous, there was some concerns about it being ambiguous last time.
Yeah, it's no longer ambiguous.
Okay.
If you look in the folder that is labeled 2020 Festival El Paso Contracts for Approval, you'll see a PDF document there that says Clarification on El Paso Sponsorship. And it's easy enough to read and understand. The board had a concern about the words up to $23,100 if we sold 900 room nights. The board was concerned that if we sold 899 room nights, that we would get zero. Well, that's not El Paso's intention. They have always intended and have honored their agreement to give us a prorated grant. And this letter that you'll find there from the Director of Convention Development for Destination El Paso spells it out quite clearly. That they will cap it at $23,100 no matter how many nights we bring in above 900. But if we only meet 90% of our room goal, for example, 810 room nights, they will pay us 90% of the $23,100 or $20,790. So it's very easy to understand when you read the letter. And this is independent of the grant that we got last year from the state of Texas. So this is not contingent on El Paso getting the tourism development grant that we wound up getting in 2016. This is from Destination El Paso themselves. It's in writing.
So one way.
Very clear. And I don't think the IJA has ever received a grant offer like this in our history in advance of a festival.
So to help alleviate the confusion while we're talking about this, as a nonprofit grant writer myself, let me make some clarification. The grant would have been from El Paso, from Texas, like you were talking about. This is a sponsorship. They're donating this money or guaranteeing this money. It's not a grant.
Yep, you're right. That's the word she uses, sponsorship.
And I assume that's better, Afton.
Yes, specifically just because there's usually less requirements and criteria, and they can do that flexible scale thing. The thing that was nerve-wracking for me last year, and I guess is sort of nerve-wracking when we've been talking about this one, is everyone kept saying grant, and I hadn't seen where it said sponsorship.
Okay.
And grants aren't guaranteed money. If a state for some reason decides they don't pass their arts funding, for instance, or their tourism budget doesn't stay what they want it to be, we'll lose that money. So a sponsorship is much better.
Wow, great catch, Afton. Thank you. All right, that's very good to know. Any additional discussion on El Paso? All right, we're just going to jump right to a vote then. Does anybody oppose this motion? Any abstentions? Motion passes. Looks like we're going to El Paso up again for 2020.
Great.
Very good. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate you getting the clarification. All right, excellent. That went pretty smoothly. Moving on to motion C, the motion to accept the 2017 Festival P&L statement. It is attached there. We already talked about it a little bit. Would someone like to make this motion?
This is Eric.
Oh, ahead, razor sharp. I'll go with Eric. It was razor sharp. All right, going to call it. Do we have a second? Any seconds? Come on.
This is Louis. I'll second.
Thank you. Everyone likes to make the motion. They don't like to second. That's interesting.
Come on, Extra and Josie. We need you guys doing seconds and motions.
Yeah. You guys got to
jump in.
Sorry, I was looking over what it was.
Yeah, the kids' gloves are off. Got to jump into the fray. All right. Discussion. It is attached there. It's pretty straightforward. Any questions, comments?
I just can't believe it's done in September.
That's phenomenal timing. I mean, it's...
Yeah.
That's
this
awesome.
This is unheard of and very good.
Yeah.
Okay. I see the donation from Iwi for the brunch is listed under festival income and also under expenses.
Yep.
Yeah, it's because we got the money and we had to spend the money.
Okay.
Yep.
So the money like changes hands from Iwi to us and then from us to the catering company?
Exactly.
Okay. Cool.
Any more discussion?
So it looks like we made about almost 22,000 this year, and I know we made money the year before that, and I know we lost money the year before that. So at least we're in the right direction here.
For sure. All right, guys, moving to a vote. Does anybody oppose the approval of the P&L statement? Would anyone like to abstain? Motion passes. All right, guys.
Yay!
In the books. Moving on to motion D, motion to appoint the following IJA officers. The list is there. You can read that. If you'd like me, I can read them aloud, but I'd like to think that most people can read on the agenda. There's a short list. Is everyone okay with that?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Would someone like to make this motion?
This is Louis. I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Louis. Do we have a second?
This is Xero. I'll second.
Hey, look at that. I like it. All right. Thank you, Xero. Moving on to discussion. Just a few quick notes I'll point out here for you folks. Mostly the same people. We have a few switcheroos. So Alan Howard has kind of handed the reins off from archives over to David Kane due to the fact that Mr. Kane is housing our archives currently, so it seemed a more logical choice. And Josie has stepped up to step in the role of World Juggling Day coordinator. Aaron was not interested in continuing on, so that's how that happened, and I think everything else is pretty much the same. But yeah, any more discussion?
Who was World Juggling Day before? Was that Aaron?
Yes.
Yeah, it was Aaron.
And this is Josie. I've been in touch with Aaron already, starting to talk to her about coordinating.
Great.
Sweet. Good to hear. All right. With that, we'll move to a vote. Does anybody oppose the approval of these officers? Any abstentions? Officers approved. Great. All right, moving on to motion E, the motion to create an IJA officer position of marketing team member and appoint Matan Pressburg to this position. Would somebody like to make this motion?
This is Xero. I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Xero. Do we have a second?
This is Ian
to Louis. I'll second.
Oof, I heard it, Ian. Wow, getting feisty over there. All right, guys, moving to a discussion. There's a kind of an explanation attached to that hyperlink. This was Erin Stevens' idea, basically just to kind of take some weight off of her.
Is Matan, I mean, is he skilled in that position, in doing that? I mean, I know he has a killer nine ball, but...
He has a pretty solid social media following.
Great.
Largely...
He did express interest...
Go ahead.
Yeah, he did express interest specifically. He said he's very involved with online videos and whatnot. I mean, so he wanted it, and Erin recommended him as well, so that's basically what I have. But I haven't seen
I think anyone who wants to help in our marketing, come on board.
Yeah, might as well.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. Any more discussion? Moving to a vote. Does anybody oppose this motion? Any abstentions? Motion passes. Moving on to motion F, motion to create the IJ officer position of international representative and appoint Jorge Vilches and Lucas Edwards to this position. Would someone like to make this motion?
Scott, I will make this motion.
Thank you, Scott. Do we have a second?
This is Eric, I'll second.
Zero.
Oh, I heard Eric. All right, guys, moving to discussion. Also, this was kind of a recommendation of Erin Stevens. Kind of a little bit of history here. We've had kind of like on-again, off-again regional representatives, like Mexico representatives, European, et cetera, but there's been some kind of ambiguity about what they do. So the idea was to create a more general international role for jugglers that travel a lot and are outside of the U.S. frequently to kind of be an advocate, and there's a better overview that goes into greater detail at that hyperlink.
I think this is sorely needed, and I would encourage even having more if we can, you know, have some in different spots around the world and have representation at international festivals as much as we can, and people promoting. I think that's a great growth area, and we need people advocating for us outside the U.S.
Sure.
Agreed.
This is Eric, and I couldn't agree more. I only have one issue. I'm looking at the necessary experience and qualifications, and one of the things it doesn't say is IJA member. And I think if you're going to be doing our outreach, I think it's quite obvious that the first question I would ask is if you were, in fact, a member.
Good point.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think that somebody should be a member before something like this could be asked of them?
No, I don't think I'd have an issue with that. I mean, I know I've seen Lucas's online stuff, and I know his contribution. But if he was going to be our international representative at the BJC or something, and honestly, that would be the first question I'd ask him, if he was a member. And if he told me no, I wouldn't exactly be thrilled by that.
Yeah, I agree. That could be a little awkward. But he was at this year's IJ Festival, if I'm not mistaken, which implies he is a member.
That is correct. I'm curious here. It was the idea of having... more people beyond Jorge and Lucas in this sort of representative position. I think we had touched previously on the idea of gifting memberships. And if somebody seems like they could be helpful in the international realm, that perhaps we could consider gifting a membership to a person, rather than requiring them to be one from the start, but rather bring them into the fold that way.
I can see that.
Yeah, yep. I don't have an issue with that. That makes sense on some level, I think. All right, do you guys want to vote on this as is with the kind of, like, recommendation that they be IJA members, or do we want to try to ratify the motion or table it, or what do you think?
I think we can... I really think we can... approve this. I personally would be willing to sponsor the memberships of these international representatives if it took that, if they were willing to do the rest of it and they weren't members otherwise.
Exactly. I feel the same. I could sponsor one of them if they can or don't want to, or not that they wouldn't want to, but if somehow a financial thing is part of the burden of them doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys are awesome. Okay, wow, that's great. I guess on that note, we might as well just vote on it, and, you know, I can kind of relay what we've discussed over to Aaron, but I don't foresee any issues with this.
Is there anything that says, to start with, that, like, an officer is or needs to be a member? Like, something that might just be overarching this whole conversation?
Yeah, I agree. That's the more overarching consideration.
Yeah. Board members need to, I believe by our bylaws, officers are don't really go into a lot of detail in the bylaws. That's almost pertinent almost exclusively to the board and just the general membership, not the officer kind of overlay. I think best practices they should be, but I don't think that's spelled out specifically.
Okay.
All right. I guess on that note, we'll move to a vote. Does anybody oppose this motion? Any abstentions? Motion passes.
This is Josie jumping in. I have to get off the phone now, but I just wanted to touch base and thank you all.
Thanks Josie.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. All right, motion G, motion to renew IJA bookkeeper Dennis Morrison's contract, and I have attached a draft of the new one. Would someone like to make this motion?
This is Louie. I'll make the motion.
Thanks, Louie. Do we have a second?
Scott, I'll second.
Thank you, Scott. Moving to discussion. Any discussion?
Dennis is great. Please renew his contract.
What Afton said.
Great. Good. It's nice to have people who like working together on those things.
I'm certainly not opposed to the contract. I will say this. It's hard for me to believe that out of our membership that we don't have, and I realize that it's nice to have someone that's a little separated, hands, arm's length, but I'm really just surprised that we can't find someone who could do this pro bono that's closer to us to save us $9,500 a year. And
I would say people don't do it because it's literally a nightmare. Like, I'm an accountant. I do accounting. I do what Dennis does. And I wouldn't want to do it for us.
Okay.
We have a lot of moving parts. And it's far more complicated than it would seem to be. There might be someone, but it's a lot of time. I think it's a lot more time than we think it is.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Dennis, he does a lot of...
That's my stance.
Yeah, the issue... I mean, I agree, hypothetically, Scott, that would be ideal. But, I mean, with there's a lot of moving parts behind the scenes, so it's not just a matter of finding somebody who has a general idea of numbers that is really willing, but somebody has that really complex background that's willing to help. And if we pay them, that gives us accountability, which makes it a lot easier. So that's definitely
good point.
That, but
all right.
Is this the same amount as the previous year?
Correct. The only alterations I've done is updated the dates. But yeah, the amount has been unchanged for the last 3 years. All right, moving to a vote. Does anybody oppose this motion? Any abstentions? Motion passes. Alright guys, last motion. I wasn't going to put this on there originally, but it had enough discussion in the thread that I thought it would be best to, at the very least, formally put this on here. Motion H, motion to pay Wes Peden $1,600 to feature his gumball video as IJA member content. Would somebody like to make this motion?
This is Scott.
I heard of Scott. Do we have a second?
This is Eric,
I'll second. Gotcha, Eric, thank you. Moving to discussion.
This is Xero. I don't really want to pay a bunch of money for this video if we can't watch it untethered to the internet. It just doesn't make sense. All of Wes Peden's videos that I watch in the times that I don't have internet connection. And I think that if there was like a download button that came out in the next newsletter where you could download for $5 or $10, which would be a significant discount, or even less would be cool, then I'd be much more into this idea. I guess I just don't see a whole lot of value in it.
Do you feel that way about all members' video content? That should be downloadable, not streaming?
Potentially. There's been research done that shows pirating and downloading content doesn't really hinder the sales of the content itself. And so I think the people that still want to buy it are still going to buy it.
Ian here, is that the main reason you think it's not downloadable? They're just trying to prevent piracy? Is there any other reason that it's not downloadable?
No, I think Scott Felter had said that sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I can kind of step in here. So just the easiest way that this, I didn't implement this, but the way our members-only content is implemented is it's through our Vimeo account, and we can set the videos to private so that the person has to be logged in on that web page for that to display. So that's how we're able to manage members-only video content, by utilizing that communications with logins through WordPress and Vimeo.
More, I think it's more a process thing than a policy thing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, this is Scott. I'm really torn on this. Do I think that it would give value to our members? Yes, I do. I think. I mean, I'd say Wes and Scott. Wes, Jay Gilligan, and Josh Horton are probably the three most popular jugglers, depending on how you look at it, that are juggling today. And Wes, puts out great stuff that's unlike anybody else's. And last time, the members ate it up and used it, and it's good. And for that, for that part, I like giving the membership something of value. And this is a value. So that has me leaning towards yes. The timing of it, I wish it was different. I know my brother paid his, $15 or $20 2 weeks ago and got it. And so he's a member that wouldn't benefit from it because he already paid for it. So the timing, and I know we voted on this last, voted on a different version of this last month, so it's not that like that Scott's late in it. It's just it's the timing. But I don't, you know, I personally don't have a, I don't have a problem watching it while online as opposed to downloading. And most of the stuff I do, I don't really download much. But I'm of a different generation. I don't know. I like bringing value to our members outside of the festival. That's an argument that I hear a lot is, hey, you know, if I don't attend the festival, what's the value of it? That's why I always argue for e-juggle content in whatever form. And usually I'm a dissenting voter on wanting to raise the e-juggle budget. I think this would give value. Is it more expensive than I wished? Yes. And is the timing off? Yes. But so that's just my two cents worth.
Thanks, Scott. That's good.
This is Eric, and so I'm actually of Scott's generation, but I'm actually the opposite. I download the videos and I watch them. So I think I told somebody I was just at Flow Camp this weekend, and there were two or three people who had already downloaded the video. I'm going to buy it already. Some folks were actually upset that you discover that you can only download it once to a specific device, and you don't get another download. That's not actually clear in his download link, and some folks were actually a little bit upset by that. But that's, for me, not the issue. For me, the issue is I think this is a lot of money for simply being able to watch the video. I'm with X0. I would have gone with a download link just to Wes's vendor. It doesn't even have to be on the IJA thing, but if you're an IJA member, you can get this for $10 or whatever. I'm also wouldn't be... I would be interested in paying Wes a smaller amount to do just an audio commentary that members could get and download and then watch along with Gumball or some kind of other added footage. But just paying him $1,600 for a video that he's already got out, I don't think I can do that.
Good thoughts, Eric.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I echo some of those same sentiments. I mean, I'm a huge Peden fan. I really want to support him, but you know, I don't. It's hard for me to justify paying that amount of money for a video that has already been out and is already being sold. I mean, it's one thing if we paid him an amount to make a video just for us that was exclusive to us, but a video that people are already downloading, yeah, it doesn't quite make as much sense. And also, I don't understand fully Scott's desire to not have this affect his e-juggle budget at all. He wants this full sum in addition to his monthly budget as opposed to kind of utilizing some of that budget to go towards this. Another thing, too, is Wes, if you download the video, it actually comes with a separate audio commentary track already.
Oh, it does.
So if he was giving that to us, it would be something that was already created and already released in his package download, so it wouldn't really be unique to us. So, you know, I want to support this, but it's the price tag and kind of lack of value here is kind of what's pointing me towards no at this point, personally.
Yeah, I'm going to jump off the call, so if anyone needs me, just text me.
Thanks, Afton.
Thank you.
Can you lower the price?
What's that, Ian?
Did he lower the price? Wasn't he asking for more, and then after we expressed our concerns, he lowered the price?
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's another reason why I feel bad, because originally it was $3,000, which, I mean,
Well, so another reason I feel bad is for Scott. We have, you know, Scott does a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And we have consistently told him no on... But at least in the year and a half, or not even year and a half I've been on, we've told him no to increasing his e-juggle budget twice. And now we've shot down the second version of this. And that's not to say that we have to say yes because of that. But Scott may be getting frustrated at giving, you know, he doesn't get paid for any of this, and I already know, I know for a fact that he has cut out some of his content. Some of his people are not, his contributors are not contributing on the same cycle that they're on a less frequent cycle than they were. So it's just a consideration.
Yeah, and it's valid too. I don't want to keep saying no to Scott too for those reasons. He does a lot of work. And it's not like this money is going to him. I don't know why Wes goes to him in a way. I guess that he's the middleman right now, and he's the e-juggle guy. When he broke it down into the email of saying, well, that's only $1, you know, $1.30 for each member or something, that made me think about it too. Like,
yeah,
it comes, you know, that's compared to we're paying that for our members, $1.30, instead of them having to go pay the $10 to $20 online for it. Right. So.
And
when it was broken down like that, it made a little more sense to me, but it's still a hard one.
But it talks to that same thing. If we've got 1,300 members and 500 of them make it to the festival, well, that other 900, 800, you know, what are we giving them? You know, the long argument's been, well, insurance for those who choose to take part of it. But e-juggle content, and like it or not, well, I think all of us like it, but Wes is the most popular juggler in the world right now, with good reason. Again, it's a really hard one because, yes, I wish it was less. I wish it was done 3 weeks ago. But I'm trying to think of the membership. That balance the whole thing of giving the members something for the money they pay versus being a good steward of the finances.
So Scott Seltzer and I continued that discussion just by email. I took the rest of you all off the distribution list, and he did make that point. I mean, but I'm also with Scott Kane's point. I'm going to buy the video. I don't need the IJA to pay $1,600 so I can see Gumball. I'm actually, as I told Scott Seltzer, I'd actually go, you paid $1,600 to Wes so that we can just stream the video. I'm not so sure I would consider that as a member, responsible use of the finances. I just don't.
I'm in agreement with that. You know, $1.30 or $1.60 per member still comes out to like 5% of your total yearly dues. And if I can't download the video through the e-juggle, then I'm still gonna go download it myself wherever else I need to go to do that, just to watch it. If we do approve this now, I can't even say that I would watch it on e-juggle.
Wow. Do you guys think that some people that already bought it, if we were to approve this and it came out that it was now free, do you think they'd be kind of frustrated that they purchased it even though, because it was made members?
Yeah.
That's a consideration also.
I mean, yeah, a little bit.
There was no way to get like a download code for our members or something. There was, I don't know who all was involved in the dealings, but there was no way to get like our members get a discount or something.
I almost feel like that process is a
different. I think we probably missed
the
vote on that one.
Yeah, I feel like that whole process would be a separate discussion altogether, implementing something like that.
Which I think would be great.
But his vendor for.
I'd be much more into the idea of jugglers like Wes and Jay submitting a video to us for some kind of payment to go out in our newsletter with a download link, where members get a free or heavily discounted download. I think that could work out in everyone's favor.
Yeah, and then maybe on the back end, depending on how many members do that, we give them X amount per member that got the discount to make it up to them on the back end or something.
Yeah, that kind of gets into the whole nonprofit royalties thing. That's kind of a black hat right there. But
yeah,
I understand your logic, though.
Yeah. And again, it's the Scott thing, too. I wish we could separate that out a little bit because I don't want to keep saying no to Scott when e-juggle, in a way, is the only, it's not the only, but it's the biggest thing we do besides the festival that to give back to our members.
Yeah, but we've turned...
I don't want to frustrate him to the point of leaving or disbanding or moving away from the IJA and what he does to the IJA.
I feel bad that my first interaction has been to say no to him. He seemed kind of upset in his response to everybody. Mm-hmm. At least maybe that was just my perception, because I don't know him at all. And so, like, part of me wants to be a nice person and say yes to this, but I just don't think it's a wise way to spend $1,600.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta really consider all angles of this. I mean, realistically, we are, you know, the operational side of the IJA. We need to, you know, do what's in the best interest for the organization and try to really kind of separate ourselves from some of the personal side of things, which is not always easy, but, you know, sometimes you just gotta do what makes the most sense.
I know this is a little outside of this motion, but... I mean, what would the board think of encouraging Scott to put in another request to up the e-juggle budget? I mean, I think, you know, even if he upped it, you know, $100, if we upped it $100 a month, then we're talking, you know, $1,200 for a year, but that may bring 24 new articles or something, more content, I don't know, or just different content, I don't know. Just trying to think how to support Scott and what he does and support giving more benefit, more stuff to the members, but doing it in a financially responsible way. But knowing that we've turned down two such things already.
Right. One thing I would like to see, and I did mention this to him, is, you know, I really would like to see some metrics, like what articles are getting the most hits, you know, what our visitation is like, and he's dinked around with plugins before, but we currently don't really have any data to see kind of what's bringing in the numbers. So I think something like that, as we discussed before, could really help the cause.
I'm putting together a proposal for you to do something like that next month.
You're putting it together for me or for Scott or?
For everybody in general. I was going to contact you about it shortly.
Okay.
I didn't have enough time to finish putting everything together to outline my idea.
Oh, I see what you're saying, Cyril. Yeah, great. Shoot it over to the board or post on the forums or shoot it over to me. And yeah, great. Good idea. Thank you. I don't want to dwell on this too much longer, guys. It's getting a little late, and, you know, I feel like we're kind of, you know, getting off on side tangents here, but, let's just go to a vote. Unless there's some legitimate discussion further, I think we should probably just jump to a vote. Does anybody have any final thoughts? All right, we're going to jump to a vote on this. Does anybody oppose this motion?
This is Xero. I oppose the motion.
All right, Xero. Xero opposes. Nathan, Eric opposes, Xero opposes, Nathan opposes, any other opposition? Would anyone like to abstain?
This is Louie, I'll abstain from this one. I just can't quite get my head around it.
Okay, so Louis abstains, meaning we have...
This is Ian all abstaining.
Oh, Ian abstains also. Okay, so Ian abstains. Scott votes for it, and I believe Josie left.
Yep.
Okay. All right, thanks for voting, everybody. The motion fails. But, yeah, send me that report, Xero, and we'll see if we can kind of put together a more cohesive proposal that creates more of like a win-win for everybody. I think that'd be a good gesture and valuable data as well.
You got it.
Thank you, sir. All right, moving on to item 7, Varia. I'm just going to touch upon these items real quick here.
Real quick, Nathan. You did say Scott voted for it. I didn't hear him, though.
Yeah.
I just want to make sure.
That's okay. Correct. I did that.
Can you confirm? All right. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks for checking, Eric. Thank you for confirming, Scott.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, Varia, just a couple quick things. So, one thing that Neil Fred actually mentioned to me recently that I thought was a great idea was it seems like every year what we do is we kind of open up our vault. The festival director goes through what medals do we need, and then we have this kind of like jam bang, like ordering of medals and figuring stuff out. And so the idea was, what if we created a cloud-based inventory of all the medals we had and instead ordered them in bulk each year and kept a running tally about how many we have of which and broke that down by event. That way not only would it be more organized, but we'd save money by ordering in bulk when needed as opposed to just ordering these piecemeal amounts per festival and then trying to check the depletion and leftovers from there. And I thought that was kind of an interesting long-term solution. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, this is Scott. I mean, Mary Spore and I do this already for numbers. Like, we know right now how many numbers, medals we have sitting in that box.
Nice.
But I agree. If we did that... if we did it enough that we could order for 2 or 3 years so that we could only wouldn't have to put an order in every year because it's a pain in the ass, that would be helpful.
Yeah.
Also, it would cut down on costs to order in. The challenge of that, and I think Neil Fred called it out too, was usually we apply those metal purchases to the festival cost.
Yep.
And if we're ordering medals for more than 1 year, it's a challenge. But yeah, certainly keep at minimum making an inventory and keeping that up to date would be useful. That way, we wouldn't have a fiasco like this last year where we accidentally ordered medals we didn't need and for joggling, and that Afton could just do that instead of having 5 or 6 people, involved.
Yeah, that's the one piece of the puzzle that's hard is, how do we budget this if we're ordering a bulk to bleed over to multiple festivals? I don't know what would be best practice for that. I really don't. But
Afton and Guinness might be able to figure it out, some sort of...
Yeah. I might reach out to them.
How to do that.
You could always apply it after the fact that, okay, I used... 10 joggling, or 47 joggling medals, 15 numbers medals, and 17 championships medals. That comes out to that costs us this much out of the budget, or out this budget. So that's what my budget was, and maybe we purchased it originally with IJ or general funds, and then the amount that are used that festival comes, it gets. Balanced out of there. I don't know.
No, that's an interesting.
Yeah, like
idea.
I have purchases for my business that my tax person takes over the course of years. He takes out X amount of money every year because of a purchase that I'm using year to year, sort of thing. Like, I think there's ways to balance that out or account for it.
Okay. Yeah, I'll look into that. But I like that solution. That makes sense. I mean, if you guys are curious, what kind of prompted this is, we had that one Japanese team that won teams this year, and there was 5 of them, and we only had, I think, 2 medals, so we said that they could buy 3 more medals, and they were like, sure, but then when they went to buy it, the vendor was like, you only want to order 3 medals, that's going to be a lot of money because we like to produce them in bulk by the dozens. So I said,
yeah.
You know, are you guys okay waiting until we order for next year? And they said, oh, sure, sure, just let us know. And then it kind of became, well, you know, Fred said, why don't we just order bulk and inventory everything? And I was like, well, that makes sense. Just kind of trying to figure out how to manage that. But yeah, okay. So yeah, I'll see if I can get some information. And oh, X-Zero, did your friend, was he able to get the bins with metals from, Sayers?
I'm pretty sure. I haven't checked in with him since that day, but it sounded like they were going to make that happen. I'll message him to confirm.
Okay, yeah, yeah. I might reach out to you if we want to do a full inventory, because I presumably that's where most of our bleed over is going to be. But okay, cool. Thanks. All right, moving on to Varia Item B, Dave Finnegan video content. I'm sure most, if not all of you here, know who Dave Finnegan is, correct?
Yes.
Jugglebug.
Professor Confidence. Yeah.
Yeah.
Jugglebug, yes, the Jugglebug. Yeah, so I actually received an email from him recently. What happened was somebody leaked one of his instructional videos onto YouTube, and he was kind of upset about it because, you know, he didn't authorize that, and I told him how he could take it down if he wanted to and submit a copyright claim and so forth, and, you know, he said, you know, I'm actually interested in gifting this old video and possibly one of my other videos over to the IJA. I don't want any payment. I just want an official kind of release through the IJA for kind of like my archive, my legacy. I mean, is there some way you guys can monetize this or use it for your membership, or basically just, you know, if I gave these videos to you, what could you do with them? And I said, oh, that's very nice of you, Dave. Let me bring it up at the next board meeting, so I'm bringing this up. What do you guys think?
That's some members only content right there to start.
Yeah, right now we got.
That was my initial thought. You guys just want me to like tell them, hey, we can pop that on to our eJuggle as members only content and promote it a little bit in the newsletter.
Yep. Definitely.
You like that idea?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
I was trying to think. Oh, wow. That was a very short and unanimous conclusion. That was okay. I'm impressed how quickly that went. Great work, guys. All right, I'll let them know. I'm wondering too. Actually, Ian, what do you think? Do you think some of this could be used for YJA at all? Because it's primarily instructional.
I've never seen this video. I don't know the video you're speaking of, but from the sounds of it sounds like it'd be good for kids.
Yeah, I mean some of it. I mean, he has his own unique kind of instructional style, but you know it. Could be fun, but okay, yeah, I'll let him know that we're interested in having it for eJuggle content, and tell him we can promote it, and you know, I would give a big thank you. Yeah,
Nathan, I would say this. I know Scott probably knows this. I mean, I'm sure one of the videos he's going to offer up is step by step, and that's got some great content. But Andrew Allen is also prominently featured in that video, and that is probably not something we want to put out.
Oh, snap!
Yep, I was thinking the exact same thing, Eric. I'm like, you know, he's got some great young things, but there is a pedophile.
Oh, God.
We'll have to see. He's put out a number of things, but, yeah.
To paraphrase the Kamikaze Fireflies, Junior's got him to where he is today.
I mean, there could be, we could just do some editing or something, but I mean, just to make sure we know what, at least a couple of these videos, we probably aren't going to put up in their entirety anyway.
Okay, well, shoot. This is kind of hard to approach, because
I'm vaguely familiar
with his relationship. Yeah, go ahead, Scott.
I certainly think that if you said, you know, hey, what content is it in general? We were thinking we could put it on eJuggle for its members only content. However, we do want to stay away from anything featuring Andrew Allen / Neil Stammer.
Do you think it would be, you probably know him more than I do, Scott. Do you think he'd be okay with us just being very blunt like that, or do you think that'd
be well, I'm sure he's as heartbroken about that whole situation as anybody is, and
Yeah.
I think he would certainly understand that. And truthfully, we are, we don't know if that's the video content he's asking about. So I think we're legitimately saying, hey, yeah, we would love to put something as long as it's not this, and you know why. And I can't imagine he would not understand that wholeheartedly.
Okay. Would you guys be okay posting a video that featured Alan if we ourselves edited it out of the video?
Oh, if Andrew Allen's not on it? That would be very, if it's the video I'm thinking of, it would be very difficult because I think Andrew's the demonstrator of pretty much most of the stuff.
Oh, gosh. All right. Let me see if you mention the name of him in the video. The one is actually on YouTube. It does on here. Juggle Time for Kids and Juggling Step by Step.
Step by Step is prominently Andrew for most of the balls and numbers and the devil stick with Todd Strong. There are other pieces that don't have Andrew in it. I literally just saw it last week. I have it on VHS. I was just showing it to somebody else last week.
Do you know about Juggle Time?
I don't know about Juggle Time.
Yeah, I don't know it offhand. I think they.
All right. You know what, guys? I'll just be very blunt but very kind towards Dave and, you know, kind of put everything out here. But I think we're all on the same page, and I appreciate you guys bringing up the Andrew Allen thing. I didn't even think of that. So
and
okay,
for those of you that might not know him, Andrew Allen, later known as Neil Stammer, is in jail after being on the lam for a number of years for doing nasty things to children, to put it lightly.
Yeah. Okay, any more discussion on this? All right, final item for Variat I wanted to mention. Just kind of an update on the video storage situation. So I'm kind of working with Jayco to get everything really busy with Philly Fest, so he's a little behind. But in the interim, I got an interesting message from Aaron Stevens, because for a while we were thinking about, you know, buying a bunch of, like, hard drives and backing everything up, and, you know, the idea of cloud-based solutions came up, etc. But I'm going to have to look into this, but Aaron said she was looking into some of the options with Dropbox, and if you get, I want to say the Enterprise Edition for $24 a month or something, or is it, it's fairly cheap, you allegedly get an unlimited storage basket, which would be, because we could upload literally all of our video archives and catalog them. And even if we didn't use it for members-facing content, it would be a really good way to just have everything digitized, archived, and basically safe for our archives. So I just kind of wanted to bring that up. What do you guys think of something like that?
That's not bad for just under $300 a year to have a backup that's accessible by any of our members or board of directors. Like you said, it doesn't need to be front-facing, but if somebody would need to take the time to kind of back stuff up, it might need to be split up into multiple drives that people get so they can spend time backing it up and sending it to the cloud. That might be a logistic issue, but I think after the first year of doing it, it would be easy to do after we get the bulk of it up there.
You know, another thing Aaron mentioned, and I think this is a good point too, is, you know, Jayco, if somebody performs, what he does is he uploads their routine to his personal Dropbox and sends it to them, and then he has to delete it and then re-upload the next person because of his account storage capacity. So this way, not only would it be good to archive, but we could have our video editors have access and they could upload every routine cataloged, you know, from the festival after it happens, then just send whomever their routines, and it would make things that much easier, and it'd be kind of, you know, preserved while they're uploading it to send it to the person, be a lot more efficient from a video production storage standpoint, I think. But anyways, I just wanted to throw that out there. If you want to, I can maybe talk to Jayco, but I need to double check the pricing, but I thought, was it $240 a month, I think, or a year? It's kind of pretty,
yeah,
pretty
a year or something.
I think that'd be great. And, you know, Jayco is, he's great to, you know, he records any and every juggling thing he can and sends it to the people, and he's just lovely in that respect, and anything to help with that I think would be great.
All right, well, maybe I'll start a dialogue with him and kind of see if we can kind of move in that direction, if that's something we want to vote on later. But okay, that's good feedback, guys, thanks. Any final items? All right. With that, we set our October meeting minutes, or meeting times, rather. Let's see here. If we go 2 weeks from today, that'll put us at the 9th for a vision planning meeting. Or we could do the 2nd or the 16th. You guys want to do the 9th?
Oh, that's Columbus Day.
Oh, it's Columbus Day. Okay. We could do the 2nd or the 16th. Would you prefer to do that instead of Columbus Day?
I can do either of those easier than Columbus.
Okay.
Yeah, that would mean next week for Vision. I'm good for either one.
Do you guys want to meet next week for Vision or wait a little bit longer?
Anyway, we could do 16th and 30th.
30th is the night before Halloween. Is that okay for people?
Should be.
Yeah, I guess I could do that if it's not out too late. I might have a spooky costume on.
I thought you always have a spooky costume on.
Oh, fair point, Scott. Fair point. All right.
Whoa.
What a great way to end a meeting, guys. All right. Let's do the 16th for the vision planning meeting, and we'll hit the 30th for our business meeting.
Great.
Cool, guys. Very productive. With that, would someone like to make a motion for adjournment?
This is Xero. I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Xero. Do we have any discussion? Moving to a vote. Does anybody oppose adjournment? Any abstentions? Meeting adjourned at 8:52 p.m. Eastern Time. Thanks, everyone. Good night.
Thank you.
These next ones are actually at 7:30 now, right?
No.
Okay, good.
There we go.
Changing that.
Yeah, sorry about that.
All right, sweet. I'm going to save these in my phone.
They're at 7 or 7:30?
7 o'clock. Staying at 7. Right. That was left over from last year. Sorry. 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
All right, talk to you then.
Thanks.
Bye. All right.